This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Fightful Prediction Show with me, Stephanie Chias, and today I am joined by Ryan Drosty. Sorry if I said that wrong. Hello, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm good. Appreciate the invite. This is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we got a short card to talk about, but probably some good talking points. So looking forward to getting into it here.
Yeah, for sure. It is Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank has come around again at the Inuit Dome in LA, which is where they had their Raw on Netflix debut, right?
Yeah.
And some big shows over there. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about it with you too. We've got 4 matches, but yeah, I think we can get something out of this for sure. How much of a fan are you of the Money in the Bank concept, pay-per-view in general?
This is pretty interesting, because I just wrote an article for Bleacher Report this morning, kind of looking back at some of the dangerous spots in Money in the Bank matches over the years, and I realized that this is the second longest running match concept, like, in sequence they've had without a break in the action, you know, because they did like the traditional Survivor Series matches, but then they got away from that for a while. As far as like the longest running match that they've had year after year, the only one that would be longer would be the Royal Rumble. So they've been doing this since 2005 without a break. And I would say when it started, I was really into it. I do think in recent years, it's gotten really watered down. And I wonder if the concept is somewhat played out. I think it's been more interesting on the women's side than the men's side in recent years. Yeah, I don't know. I think there has been some criticism I've seen out there online about, you know, Hunter maybe not being a fan of the concept anymore. And, you know, they're kind of, it's this branding thing now where, like, you know, they sell the briefcase. And, you know, it's one of those things where newer fans certainly look forward to it. But if you've been watching wrestling a long time, I don't know. I definitely don't get as hyped about it as I used to. You know, it's dependent on the winner and what direction they're going afterwards.
The branding merchandising is so interesting, because every one of these that I did at the end of last year, and anything else that I did where I had to talk about WWE, I was always saying, oh, Tiffany ain't losing that till after Christmas because of the branding and the Christmas stuff. So anytime anyone would be telling me like, oh, Tiffany's cashing in now, I would be like, no, not till after Christmas, because they've made all those, you know, briefcases, those Polly Pocket like briefcases. Yeah. But I don't know if it's just like that I'm old, but I when you said that it's the second longest running, like I totally get that, but it doesn't feel as old to me as a concept. you know, being with it starting in 2005, I think because it started, you know, in the 2000s, like way post the Attitude Era, it still seems like a lot fresher of a concept than like the Royal Rumble, but it's still like nowhere like near as good as the Royal Rumble. Yeah. And I think it really matters, in the participants really matter in a way that like the Royal Rumble, you do always get the excitement of people coming out and leaving. It's kind of only afterwards that you can reflect on Rumble and say like, that was a shitty Rumble. But I think in the moment, it's a very exciting match. And I think that I probably in the past was really against it being a pay-per-view and being taken off, you know, the WrestleMania card and stuff like that. But I think we're at a point now where we have so many pay-per-views a year from WWE that it just, you might as well give one over to something like Money in the Bank that's like an over concept. But yeah, I was at Money in the Bank last year, and it was really fun. I only remembered that actually today when I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, I was at the Money in the Bank last year. It was in Toronto when I was living over there. And I was there. And yeah, and just it was fun to watch live, definitely. It's an experience to see it live because it is, you know, a ladder match. And I think they do really well with it. But I don't know. We'll get into what we think about the lineup of the two Money in the Bank matches this year, and where they may be going with it. But yeah, we're going to get into it now, guys, and let us know your predictions. But before we do that, we have a new sponsor. So let's hear from mybookie.com, once again brought to us by the Overlord Sean Ross Sapp.
Hey guys, I want to tell you all about our new partner, MyBookie. It's where we're going to start getting all of our odds from for pro wrestling and UFC. And this weekend is a big weekend. WWE Money in the Bank. You got Seth Rollins as the current favorite in the men's Money in the Bank. Roxanne Perez was the favorite. Now Naomi has moved into that top slot. Those are the two choices that I'm personally picking. But if you think you know better, head over to MyBookie and you can get $50 with a deposit of $100 or a $100 bonus for a deposit of $200. Use that code FIGHTFUL. WWE, UFC, cash in when it counts, only at MyBookie. They've had a lot of underdogs hit of late. You want to check them out. You want to see where we are getting our odds from now. Check them out. MyBookie for WWE, Money in the Bank, and UFC 316 this weekend.
There you go. Check out MyBookie for this big, big weekend. Interesting there that some of the odds are shifting. We'll get into that. But Ryan, are you ready to start?
Let's do it.
Let's start with Lyra Valkyria versus Becky Lynch. We got my two country women taking center stage. And this, we've got some stipulations here because it's for the Intercontinental Championship. But if Becky loses, she can no longer challenge for the title for as long as Lyra is a champion. And if Lyra loses, she will be forced to raise Lynch's hand and acknowledge Lynch as the better woman. All right, Ryan, do you want to kick us off? Who have you got for this one and why?
Yeah, I mean, they're coming off a great match at Backlash where Lyra was victorious. I went into that show thinking almost certainly Becky would win. I was really stunned that Becky didn't win in that match because I figured they'd put the belt on Becky and then they have Lyra chase her for a little bit. Now running it back, I feel fairly confident picking Becky here. It's hard to imagine that they'd have Lyra beat her again, unless like the only way I could see that happening is if, you know, Bayley comes out and maybe like costs Becky the match and then they kick off this Bayley Becky feud based on, you know, not seeing Bayley since the injury angle at WrestleMania. I could see maybe that happening, but I feel like it would be stronger if you put the belt on Becky, and then, you know, you can do something with Bayley down the line. I mean, they could feud over the title. Maybe you even move Lyra into the world title scene before too long, or Lyra stays in the IC title picture. You know, they turn that into a triple threat. But I think I got to go with Becky here.
Me too. I have to go with Becky, and I'm I'm going to steal a prediction from Adam of What Culture, because I really liked this, because I see the stipulation here. You know, if Becky loses, she can no longer challenge Lyra. Like, that's fine. That's pretty standard. But the if Lyra loses, her being forced to raise Becky's hand, I think on paper, I'm like, that's a bit of a like kind of daft stipulation. It feels like it doesn't really mean anything. But I think that we're going to have Becky win and Lyra have to raise her hand. And then what Adam put in my head is that's when Bailey comes out, when like Lyra has Becky's hand. Mm-hmm. So that Becky, you know, who's been such a heel, is kind of like left at like the mercy of both of them, and Bailey coming out to get her revenge and then setting up Bailey versus Becky for SummerSlam. I think that sounds like plausible, because I just feel like there'll be something in like the raising the hand or something. I could see Lyra raising Becky's hand and Bailey even coming out from the crowd, like from behind. And then she's got her. Something like that, I think, would be pretty cool. And that, to me, like, makes sense of just like that bit of the stipulation. Yeah. I could see
like a beatdown happening or something where like she's raising Becky's hand and then Becky attacks her and Bailey comes for the save or something.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, something like that. I think I just think that the moment when they're together with the hands, like something's going to happen there. But they did have a really good match at Backlash, and I was surprised with Becky returning and everything that she didn't retain. But I think it is her time to take that Intercontinental Championship. Though Lyra's done a good job, I think this feud has really helped her kind of come out of herself a little bit more. They've given her something kind of finally in that one. We have Maria thinks that Lyra wins. Fernando thinks that Bailey interferes and costs Becky the match. I don't know if I can see that, but I do definitely think we're going to see Bailey at this pay-per-view. I do think this is going to be where she returns. All right, next we have a tag team match, Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso versus John Cena and Logan Paul. I don't really know who I think is going to win this one or who really needs to. I don't think it's going to be very good, though. Can I say that? I think Cody and Logan can probably pull something off. But Jay in there with John Cena, I'm not too keen on. Do you have any thoughts on how they set this one up?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see where they position this match. I think it's probably going to go on in the main event, just because, you know, you're going to have two champions out there, so they can tease that whoever won the men's match could possibly cash in.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll get to in a second who we think is going to win the ladder match, but I don't think we're going to have a cash in on this show. They might tease it. It's a very odd match. It's not really one that like people were pining for at all.
No,
I agree with you. Like, there's a good chance it doesn't go over great as a match itself. I mean, it'll be a spectacle with the stars out there and everything. Mm-hmm. I've seen predictions for this match all over the board where people think like Cena's going to come out as a baby face and they're going to ditch the heel thing. I think it's too early for that, though, because I mean, they got to do Cody and John again.
I feel like putting him with Logan is an attempt to like enhance and get over him being a heel more and try and like temper some of the people liking him, because Logan is very dislikable, all round, and he's maybe the most dislikable person that you could team, you know, John up with.
Yeah, no, I agree. I haven't been a huge fan of the John Cena heel turn. I will say that. Mm-hmm. I've ranted on my podcast Top Rope Nation about it a lot. There's been a couple of stretches where I felt like he was starting to kind of sink his teeth into it, but I still really feel anytime I see John Cena out there doing this, and of course the crowd is popping for him because it's like the last time they're going to see him and nobody really wants to boo him, and he kind of just comes across like a guy playing heel rather than like a guy you actually want to. It's like a wink and a nod, like, haha, I'm the bad guy kind of thing. You don't really buy into it. And yeah. And so like, I think they're going to run back Cody and John. I mean, it could happen at SummerSlam. Maybe they set it up here and, you know, Cody actually pins him to set up their rematch. But I don't know. When I look at these names and, you know, three big names and a guy still is kind of new to it, I still feel like Logan's probably going to take the pin and you'll put Cody and Jay over. But I don't really have a great feel for it. Like I could see it going either way.
I agree that I don't think John's heel turn is going that well. It just feels it's very surface level, not well played out. And obviously you are going to get a lot of cheers for it because people have wanted it so much for so long, and it's different and it's new. I think when I see John in acting outside of wrestling, I've been watching The Bear, and he appeared in the episode I watched a couple nights ago. I was like, oh gosh, he's like, it's John Cena. And yeah. I'm not saying that he's like a, you know, a great actor. He's not Batista, but he can kind of pull off things a lot more naturally when I see him on TV shows and in films than he is doing with this heel role. It's so like robotic and obvious or something that I wish he would just play kind of the douche that he's always given off the vibe that he is, you know, like that kind of guy. Whereas I just think that there's probably going to be a story one day about exactly what happened regarding John's turn and the Rock and whatever, but it just doesn't seem like something that the care that was needed was taken on because it was such a long time coming. You'd think they'd really like solidly plan it out. And it just feels like he's kind of just out there winging it a lot of the time, trying to make people hate him when they just like want to cheer him. But I do think teaming him with Logan is maybe a way to make people boo him more because Cody is such a baby face. Jey Uso is like so incredibly over with Yeet and everything that hopefully like John does get the booze that he needs to get, and that like pushes people forward, since crowds just tend to, you know, copy each other. So when one crowd, like when the first crowd cheered heel Cena, it's total uphill battle to get any other crowd to boo him, you know. But
yeah,
for the win, I'm gonna go with Cody and Jay just because we only just saw Cody return, and I think it's good to give the baby faces like that one up. And I do see Logan being the one taking the fall for that.
Same page. We're on the same page. 100%.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like Scott says, bathroom break match. You know, it might be for some people, but certainly on paper, it's the one that I'm like, this could be a train wreck.
Yeah. And they're in Los Angeles. So like, you know, there could be some stars that appear during this match. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see. But
Travis Scott.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. You know, there's the rumors out there he could be doing something later this summer. Maybe they bring him out to set up something. I hope if they do, I hope it's a lot better than what we saw at WrestleMania, Stephanie, because that was.
I know. Whew. You could get Travis Scott to take his 10-minute walk down to the ring to just distract from some of the offense that John Cena's putting on in there.
The Intuit Dome has like all the LED lights on every row of seats. So maybe he strolls out really slowly and he's smoking his joint again and he's looking around and he just gets mesmerized by all the LED lights and it takes him forever to get to the ring.
I definitely think they'll have some Netflix celebrities in LA for this one. Maria says, please no Travis Scott. Dwayne Johnson, do you think he can make a trip to LA?
Certainly.
Or is he just focused on his football team right now?
Yeah. I doubt it, but I wouldn't say it's impossible. I mean, since they're out there, it's possible, but
I think you never know. I don't think Triple H even knows for sure. I think Dwayne could just ride up and then the whole thing's.
He just decides he wants to be on the show at the last minute, so he's going to be on there. Yeah, that's probably how it would go.
Absolutely. Let's move into something that I hope we are higher on. It's the Money in the Bank for the Women's Championship match contract. We have Alexa Bliss, Roxanne Perez, Rhea Ripley, Julia, Naomi, and Stephanie Vaquer. My camera's just gone off. One sec, I need to change battery. Why don't you kick us off, Ryan, with your feelings on this match and maybe tell us kind of the order of chances you think people have?
Okay. Yeah, I think this will be the best match on the show. I thought last year's Women's Money in the Bank match was awesome, by the way. Yeah. When I was writing my article, I was going back and just remembering some of the stuff that happened in there, you know, with the spike pile driver onto the ladder, that huge bump that Chelsea Green took at the end through the tables was insane.
Yeah, she was the star of it.
Oh man, she was incredible. So, you know, I think this year it's going to be much the same. I think, you know, you got three of these stars they just brought up from NXT recently. They're going to be out there just doing crazy stuff and really being highlights of the match. I mean, certainly I think that a couple of them probably have a chance. This one is, I think, harder to predict than the men's because I could see it going a few different ways. I guess the ones that I would discard right away, I don't think they're going to put it on Alexa Bliss. I do think when she won the one in 2018, that was one of the like great moments, and then her cash in later in the show. I just don't see that happening this year. Rhea is, yeah, go ahead.
I think you'll upset some people by saying that, because I always feel like when I don't give Alexa a chance for something, like she has an army of fans that really do give her a chance. But I agree that I would actually give her the least chance out of all the women in this match.
Yeah. And I like her a lot as a performer, but I just don't see it happening. So, and then like Rhea Ripley I wouldn't be shocked, I guess, if she won it, but she doesn't really need it. You know, like it feels like Rhea can be inserted into the world title match anytime. You know, she's still the most over woman in the company, one of the most over people, period, in the company. And like Money in the Bank it's always been kind of a heel gimmick. Certainly baby faces have used it. And if she did have it, it could be one of those things where she would cash in it in advance and say, you know, I'm going to challenge at SummerSlam. Cause otherwise when you do it, when you come out of nowhere and you know, cash in on the weekend opponent, that's just like a cheap way to win the title. I've always felt like it should be on a heel mostly.
Yeah.
So I don't think Rhea is going to win it. I don't think Julia is going to win it. You know, again, excellent performer. I just don't see like character wise it going to her. I'd probably say third best odds to me would be Stephanie Vaquer. Again, super talented, pretty new to the main roster. I just don't see him going that direction. I think just when you look at it as a prop for a storyline, I think it's got to be either Roxanne or Naomi. And, you know, there was a person in our chat here earlier I saw that said, you know, Naomi's heel turn better than John Cena's.
Yes.
I 100% agree with Doug on that one. I think that is a excellent take. And Roxanne, you know, they could use it with, you know, the storyline she's doing with the Judgment Day and, you know, maybe some jealousy there with Liv. I could see that happening as well. I'll put Roxanne at number two. I'm actually going to go with Naomi, I think. And, you know, they could put this on her, continue to build up, you know, the feud that she's been having with Bianca and Jade, and just add to that story. And maybe eventually she cashes in and wins the title, and then that storyline becomes for the world title. But I'm it's pretty much like 1A and 1B with me. I think Naomi or Roxanne, those are one of those two is way at the top for me, and then everyone else is kind of a level below.
Yeah, I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves with this, like the opposite of the next match we're going to talk about when it comes to, you know, who might win. I think Alexa Bliss does have the least chance, and honestly, she's the person that I'd least like to see it on, just because of her character. I would just be least into that. I would say that Rhea, I don't see her as being a Money in the Bank holding person. Like, I don't see it just like fitting with her. And I think it's so interesting that we have three newbies to the main roster: Roxanne, Julia, and Stephanie, who I do give all of them a good shot at winning it. I think that Stephanie seems to be the one that they're most behind, that has kind of, she's been there like such a short period of time, especially compared to Roxanne. And they've just gotten behind her so quickly. And I think a lot of that's to do with how much the fans have gotten behind her and how much they've like instantly connected to her. So I see her having a high chance. And Julia, I think that I really like Julia, and she came in with a lot of hype, but I do think Stephanie's overshadowed her as far as like women that have come in around the same time. I do think she has like taken a lot of the shine off Julia, but I could see them giving it to her to maybe heat her up. But Money in the Bank to me is more of a heel thing to have. So Roxanne then, you know, makes a lot of sense. And with mm-hmm. what she's doing with the Judgment Day and wanting to be in the Judgment Day, I think that would work. When it comes to Naomi, you know, Fernando says Naomi wins, she has all the momentum. Naomi seems to be the one that people are really championing to win it. And I do think she has a good chance. I'm just not sure I have faith in them to do it, because I feel like we've been here so many times before with Naomi throughout her career, of it being Naomi's year to win the Rumble, or Naomi's year to win Money in the Bank, or Naomi's year to win whatever it is. And they just don't seem to go there. But this heel turn that she's made has been really good and really impressive. So it is a totally different Naomi. Who would be the most marketable for a custom briefcase? Like, would it be Naomi caution tape briefcase, glow briefcase,
LED lights glowing around the edges, something yeah. like that? Yeah.
Yeah, I think they could do a cool one for Stephanie Vicker as well, because you know, you got to think of that now. But I'm going to predict Roxanne, because to give it to someone that is new, to show them getting behind someone new, I don't think Stephanie needs it, because I think there'll be big things coming for her like before the end of the year. And I don't think that she needs to be someone who's carrying around a briefcase and threatening to cash in or whatever. So I'm going to go with Roxanne, but I know most people are hoping for Naomi, and she's would definitely be my second pick. It's not that I have a lot of faith in her. I don't have faith in them to do it. It just feels like this happens a lot with Naomi, unfortunately.
No, I agree 100%. And I would also say with her heel turn, I really got to hand it to her, because when they did that turn and they made her the heel and Jade the face in that, I thought for sure, like, and I still maybe would pick it this way, but I thought it would be flipped. I felt like Jade made a lot of sense as like the heel, you know, all the strength, how jacked she is, you know, and she would kind of like bully Naomi, and Naomi has always been so beloved by the audience. But that being said, Naomi has really grown into this role really well and done awesome as a heel, and I would have never expected that. So I gotta hand it to her, and I agree with you on, you know, on the skepticism that they'll go that far and put the Money in the Bank on her. I think you know, Roxanne is definitely a good choice, new blood, and then like you said, the Judgment Day impact makes a lot of sense.
Everything they give Naomi, like, or everything that's thrown at Naomi, she always really makes the most of. Like, even something like when she, you know, ended up in TNA and how she did there, and with this heel turn, like, she really does. Maria says Stephanie wins the Rumble. And like, if she doesn't win a title before that, you know, I just feel like, I think that she's going to have a really meteoric rise, and I think that a Money in the Bank would actually hold her back from that. Really, I think that she's going to have an absolute like rocket put to her, so I just can't see her winning it. Is there anyone who do you predict will take the craziest bump of this match, Chelsea Green style?
You know, I wish Chelsea Green would have been in here just for that, because she'll do something crazy.
I'll not say who in place of, but
I think when you look at this roster, it's maybe Julia.
Roxanne like is willing to do something like crazy, like hardcore. Roxanne,
I don't think it's going to be Alexa. Rhea's could, but she doesn't really need to put herself in that position. So it's probably gonna be one of the newer three ladies to the roster. So Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I think Roxanne will take like a gnarly bump.
Yeah. It's yeah, gonna be awesome. I'm really looking forward to this match a lot.
Yeah, me too. But I do miss Chelsea Green from being in it. She, I don't know if she's like the modern Naomi that just never really, they just can't like fully, you know, get behind her, even though she's
so bizarre. She's so over. So she has unbelievable responses every time she's out there. She does the character so well. She can work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
All right, we're on to the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Not necessarily the match that I think or you think will main event, but we'll give it to them last. We have Solo Sikoa, LA Knight, Penta, Seth Rollins, Andrade, and El Grande Americano. I mean, is this as obvious as Seth Rollins wins? I think the lineup for this to me is very disappointing. Obviously, I would like to have seen CM Punk in it just because, A, I love him. But then also at the same time, I think that would be quite hard on the heart to watch him in a ladder match. But yeah. Considering like the roster they have, I find this very much like a lackluster lineup with Seth Rollins being the only big name. Can I say that? I know like, yeah. I like LA Knight, but... Seth Rollins, yeah, is the one that jumps out of the page. But is it as simple as just Seth wins, that's it? Is it that obvious?
I feel like it is. You know, I've seen, again, like I kind of looked around at what other people were predicting. I've read some feature pieces on this by other people that I like in the industry, journalist-wise. And I feel like maybe people are thinking about this too hard. You know, like it's so obvious right. that maybe they go into a different direction. You know, or is it so obvious because that's the direction they need to go, and maybe that's why the roster is so lackluster in this match? Not that like these are people that can't work, but like I think before we got to Money in the Bank and we thought about who would potentially be in this match, I think we thought Punk, despite mm-hmm. the fact that it'd be pretty dangerous for him to do the match, they have to be like he's barely Punk gonna climb the ladder.
Punk yeah rap, will.
Yeah. But I thought like maybe Punk would be, I did think for sure that like we'd get Aleister Black, Rusev. I cannot yeah. believe Rey Fénix is not in this match. I thought for sure Rey yeah. Fénix would be in the match. Mm-hmm. We get Penta. But yeah, like Solo is a guy who like, you know, no, he shouldn't be winning Money in the Bank. Jacob Fatu should be the guy. You got LA Knight who feels like he still gets good reactions, but kind of peaked like 2 years ago. So it's kind of past time for him, don't you think?
I think the wheels are falling off that one. He does still get good reactions, but I think that the people giving him good reactions are kind of know now that it's like never happening. So they're dying down a little bit, and it might be time for a change or something. Yeah.
And like Andrade is not going to win it. That would make no sense at all. He doesn't really get much of reactions from the crowd at all when he wrestles. No. Good wrestler, but just the crowd is not invested at all. Penta, yeah, I just don't see him at that world title level. I mean, I just kind of just waiting to see the Lucha Bros reform eventually here. So I don't think they're going to go that direction. I think it's possible, you know, since El Grande Americano, since he's wrestling earlier in the day, you know, and pulling double duty, kind of like Stephanie Vaquiris, mm-hmm. it's like possible that they could do an injury angle or something. And like, maybe they replace him at the last minute with somebody else.
With CM Punk.
Maybe. I mean, it could happen. I could see that happening, but you know, with all the people in here, it seems like Seth is such a no-brainer. He's yes. by far the biggest star, and he could, you know, he's had it before, but he could really benefit from it right now, because it feels like to really legitimize this new group that he's formed, they got to get the world title on him. No offense yeah. to Jey Uso, he's massively over, but like to really sell this storyline, you got to make Rollins world champion, I feel. Mm-hmm. And so like if Rollins does win the briefcase, I think he should cash in Monday night, you know, right after or even during the Jay Gunther match, and he should walk out world champion. I feel like it should be a 48-hour thing, and after Monday night he should be the world champion, and this is just a way to get him into that match to do it. Because, I mean, doesn't everybody kind of feel like he's going to be world champion soon? I mean, he's not really like challenging for it, but it feels like it's just inevitable.
I mean, some people still call it the Seth title.
Yeah.
I mean, Seth, you know, had maybe the best remembered cash-in ever with Roman and Brock. And I do agree that Seth needs to cash in on Monday. And I can see that happening. And maybe we can, like, look at, there's been some reports that this match is not Triple H's favorite match, Money in the Bank, that he's not too high on the concept. And I think that if that's true, then Seth winning and cashing in on Monday makes absolute sense, because then you just get rid of it quickly. And we did it and we didn't waste it. And Seth is now champion, which also completely makes sense for the character that he's doing and all the people that are coming for him, and having this group with, you know, Bron Breakker in it and him as leader. He needs to be carrying, this belt. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And then I think with the Triple H not liking Money in the Bank, whether it's true or not, that's the only way I can make sense of anyone else winning this, because I can see, I mean, Scott mentions it here, right? So you have El Grande Americano wins and cashes in on Vikingo if Chad Gable loses to Vikingo. You have that. I've heard some people say El Grande Americano wins and then someone takes a briefcase and cashes in at a random time with his mask on or something. I'm not really sure that would work. That's so goofy, but you never know. And then with the other people, with Solo, he could cash in on Jacob's title, because what I'm thinking is the other people, I think, would be cash-ins, not on a heavyweight title, which I do think dilutes Money in the Bank, but they've done it before. So Solo, LA Knight, Penta, Andrade, and as I said, El Grande. So I feel like if Seth doesn't win it, it dilutes it in a way. It would be an upset, it would be kind of almost like a bad shock. Like when Jey Uso won the Royal Rumble, that was really surprising and shocking, but not like in a bad way, because he was able to have that match with Gunther, and like that made sense because you had so much going on the other side to give Gunther's title match to the Royal Rumble winner. But here, like, I don't know. I feel like I have to predict the most obvious thing, which is Seth Rollins. And also because with his heel character, it wouldn't make sense for him to hold on to it, you know, for ages. He just want to get it done. And he has so many, you know, people around to help him that he doesn't need to be waiting like 6 months to catch someone unaware.
Yeah.
I mean, so Clown 13420 says Seth cashed in during the tag match. Do you think there's any chance we get a male cash in?
I think they might tease it. I just, you know, maybe that's where Punk appears. Maybe, you know, Seth looks like he's going to cash in the main event, and then, you know, Punk stops him or something. I think I think they still do the Raw match because they've been building to it. What I would be really interested in is if Seth wins, and they do, you know, they have the Raw match between Uso and Gunther, if they allow that match to finish, or you have Seth come out and like join it as a triple threat at the very end. I think that's the route I would go, because otherwise, you know, you're going to have him cashing in on Jey. They're going to have Seth beat another heel. So I just wouldn't have Gunther take a loss again. So like I'd have him come out, I'd have him beat Jey Uso. Gunther's pissed, but he didn't have to take an L in the process. I think that's kind of the way to go about it.
Though turning something into a triple threat, and I'm pretty sure it was they did this in AW with Christian, didn't they?
Yeah.
You kind of are like, oh, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just, you know, go with the like after the match rather than like inserting yourself in? But wrestling logic, I can absolutely see them doing it. And I mean, that's what he made into triple threat when he cashed in on Brock and Roman too. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah, it just feels like the way they've always booked the top heel stables is there's always a champion in the mix. You know, like if you think about their strongest heel stables over the years, Bloodline heel stable, Roman champion, Corporation, you know, back in the day. You know, obviously you can go way back to like the Horsemen or like the NWO. Like they always had that world, the world champion in the mix. Evolution when Hunter was the world champion. It feels like, you know, if you really want that heel stable to feel like they're above the rest of the roster, like you just, you have to have the champion in the mix. Otherwise it's just like, yeah, you could pretend you're tough, but like Jey Uso's the champion, you know? Yeah. So like, we know you're a step below him. So it feels like, yeah, you put that title on Seth as soon as possible. And, you know, and then he's got the guys around him to like kind of protect him. And that's the way to go about it. I think, you know, maybe again, to the point earlier, maybe it's too obvious, but I feel it is obvious, but it feels like it's the right direction personally.
The men's elimination chamber was like so much of a better lineup than this match. There were so many like more ways that they could have done, and you know, having Punk and Drew and everyone in there was like, I think like when it comes to like Solo Sikoa, I think that's just a train that they're off, you know, with Jacob being so dominant. I think that's, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Scott says, does Gunther turn babyface? I mean, he could have an avenue to turn if he seems to get screwed in some way. And I do see like a babyface run for him coming eventually, like just because he's so good.
Yeah.
But so if you were not allowed to pick Seth, who would you go for second?
Ooh, let's see. I could see them doing LA Knight just because he is still pretty popular. I just don't really see it working with any of the other guys unless they do the secondary title, you know, like you were talking about. I'd probably have to go LA Knight. I think, but it's tough.
It is tough. Honestly, I would go. So this match, then, if it's not Seth, I wouldn't put it on. It definitely wouldn't be last. And I would go El Grande Americano, like for the gag of it, and you know, with the AAA partnership, and I would have him, you know, go bring it to AAA and cash in there. And it would just be like one of those moments that people will just complain about on the internet, like that the men's Money in the Bank match was a waste. I just feel that. I feel like if it doesn't go to Seth, it's going to go to someone whose win, maybe not even in the moment people are complaining, but it will be like when was it Austin Theory or the other one that won it and ended up, and it was a total mess.
Yeah. Oh, well, Otis won it and they couldn't wait to get it off of him with that. But yeah, Austin Theory won it. And then, God, I'm trying to remember. Didn't he go after like the U.S. title?
Yeah. So I think if it's not Seth, it will be one of those situations where, like, so maybe, like, for example, if Penta wins it, in the moment, you'd get a lot of people excited and being like really, you know, behind Penta. But then the way he cashes in or what he cashes in on makes people, in retrospect, be like, well, that was a waste of a Money in the Bank. What were they doing there? You know, that kind of thing. I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at last year's match, and going into last year seemed really, I almost kind of forgot about this, but that one seemed very predictable too. And the guy you thought would win won when Drew won, because the rest of that roster, you had Andrade Hickett in there, Carmelo Hayes, Gable, Jey Uso was in it, and LA Knight again. And it's like, I remember going in thinking maybe Jay, but Drew was like the obvious winner, and he won. And like, even the women's last year had a really good lineup. But you know, Tiffany seemed like the obvious choice, and she won. So sometimes the obvious is the way to go, I think.
Yeah. And then Drew cashed in that night and it didn't work out.
Yeah. It got to the point about Hunter maybe not liking this gimmick. I mean, he got the men's one out of the way quickly last year. So,
yeah. Which feels like he wouldn't do a that night cash in 2 years in a row, but just move it forward to Monday, and then, yeah, it's out of the way. Yeah. Oh, I remember being so excited when Drew came out to cash in during Damian Priest's specials.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a good night. But yeah, the lineup, you know, LA Knight again, Andrade again. I don't remember Andrade being in that match. I really
good
don't.
Reason.
Yeah.
I remember he came out. My buddy Jesse on Top Rope Nation, he plays this clip on his show sometimes where Andrade's entrance, he got zero reaction from the crowd. Like there, you could hear a pin drop. Nobody cared at all. Oh. Unfortunate. And like to that point, you don't even remember he was in the match and you were there.
No, I honestly don't. I think Andrade, no matter what company he's in, it does a really good job of just blending into the background. Like, despite the talent that he has, there's just something, like, you know, ever since he lost Zelina Vega, he's just never been able to, like, you know, get over that.
Yeah.
Wheeler says, cross the money in the bank over Andrade, fake Gable, Penta. I would have liked to see Karrion Kross in Money in the Bank. You know, I do really like Karrion Kross. It would have at least been something different.
Yeah.
Or you know, someone different in there. I would have put him in over Andrade, to be honest, because Andrade got to do it last year and I don't even remember him being in it. So why not?
Yeah, it would have made more sense. And again, Rey Fénix, no brainer. I cannot believe Rey Fénix is not in this match.
Would you have put him in over Penta or with Penta?
I probably would have put both of them in there if I could choose, but certainly I would have put him in there before Penta, I think.
Yeah. If they were both in it, you would get a very good moment when it's just the two of them in the ring and people, you know, get to see that. But yeah, Rey Fénix would have been good in there as well. Well, there you go. Money in the Bank, 4 matches. Do you think it's going to be a good show?
I think it'll be like I'll say a B. If I'm rating it like A through F, I think it'll end up being a show that at the end of the night, I'll say, you know, if a C show is average to me, I'll say it might end up being like a B show. Cause I do think they'll do something big storyline wise in that main event tag. And, you know, I think the women's match is going to be spectacular. There's going to be some crazy spots in that. Maybe you get the Bayley return and the Becky Lyra, like we were talking about. So I think in the end, it'll be a fairly memorable show. And I don't think it'll reach that A level, but I think it'll be one where it's going to be brief. I think there's a UFC pay-per-view that night and they're going to want to get off the air before that starts. And I think that starts 3 hours after this one. So I think it's going to be a 3-hour show. It'll be tight. Like it'll be fast. And yeah, I think it'll be decent.
They could probably get it down to 1.5 if they don't play adverts.
Yeah. How many ads we're going to watch on this show.
I think B level, for sure. I think it being in LA, we're going to get some stuff when it comes to Netflix. We're going to get some famous faces in the audience and then maybe some kind of stunt or interaction or a surprise, something like that. I think Lyra and Becky will have a really good match. I think the women's Money in the Bank ladder match may end up being the best match of the night, even if there's spots in it that will probably make people cringe. And I think the men's, even though it's not the best lineup, can pull off a good match with the people they have in it. And I'm not sure that I think that the tag can be a good match, but I think it can be an entertaining spectacle. And maybe that's good enough when the other 3 matches certainly look like they can deliver, I think.
Yeah, I'm in agreement, 100%.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for hanging out with me and talking about Money in the Bank. Why don't you tell everyone where they can see more of you and find you on the World Wide Web?
Sure. Yeah, you can check out. I have a podcast called Top Rope Nation. You can search it here on YouTube and subscribe. We do shows every single week. And then I write for The Takedown at Sports Illustrated and also Bleacher Report. So if you head on over to Bleacher Report after you're done here, you can check out my countdown of the most dangerous spots in Money in the Bank history. Just published that this morning. Oh, and you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Ryan Droste, Droste.
And you can find me, guys, on all the social media at Stephanie M. Cheers. Thank you again, Ryan. It's been great hanging out with you. Thank you, everyone that watched. I'll be back in a month's time, I think, for All In Texas is the next pay-per-view, AEW One. So I hope to see a lot of you guys there and enjoy Money in the Bank this weekend. Bye.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQBar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQBar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.